Can you remember when you first heard about the Three Mile Island incident?
Yes, I think Commissioner Myers came out and told us. He was disturbed at the fact that he came out and told us that it had came over the radio. And I think someone called him. I'm not sure. I don't know how. That at that point, it was very serious. That was when it was first made public. Mm-hmm. And
do you remember what day of the week that was?
Wednesday, I think. Mm-hmm. Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And he came out, and it was right before lunch, because my prime concern at that point was I wasn't worried about myself here, and I wasn't worried about our daughter because she's in Pittsburgh going to school. But they were talking about evacuating the school children or sending the school children home, and I was concerned about my son.
He's still in
he's in grade school. He's in fourth grade. Mm-hmm. At that time, he was in fourth grade. And so I called my husband, who works in Camp Hill, and told him maybe he should go get Clark. And he said he had too much to do and he wasn't too worried about it.
I see.
He works for an engineering firm. So then I went, called down to Bonnie in the EOC room to find something out. And from that point on, I didn't worry too much about it.
I see. Initially you were pretty concerned, and then you kind of...
Yeah, and then I was initially concerned, not for myself and not for my husband. I was initially concerned that they would take Clark somewhere where he would become very upset. Mm-hmm. About being away from us.
So you felt some anxiety about keeping people together.
Right, but that was it.
Mm-hmm. Did that change at any point?
Yes. It changed later in the day. I felt if my husband being right there on Camp Hill wasn't worried and working for an engineering firm, why was I worrying in Cardale?
Okay.
Okay.
And that remained throughout the rest of the activity.
Right, because then I was working pretty closely with it.
Did it change your work routines at all?
Oh, definitely it changed my work routine. I had to drop everything that I was working on, and I was the person that kept shoveling the work back and forth to the, delegating the work to the girls out there.
You were coordinating efforts in the office.
That's right. I would make sure that everything was, that the, when they set up meetings, that we had stenos to cover them. I had, at the point on Monday, we made up, I made up a 24-hour shift, put the girls on 24-hour shifts, would check out to make sure that we had to have them in, like, say, from 12 to 8. Mm-hmm. When we had the ones in from 4 to 12, I stayed till later, went home and would eat, and then come back and make sure that the ones that were coming in from, you know, that were there from 4 to 8, if everything was quiet, then I would send them home. Mm-hmm. And they all knew that if they... received a call from me, they were to become to come back to work. Everything was coordinated through me as far as getting the stenos to work, getting the people. I made sure we had two typists, one steno, and one copy machine operator for all three shifts. Mm-hmm. That's right. On Thursday, it was mainly as Mr. Burgess or Tom Blosser would bring something to us, I would make sure which girl got it. Mm-hmm. At that point, we were working. Then it wasn't as bad on Thursday nor Friday. The big thing seemed to happen on Saturday. They called me on Saturday, and we had guests, out-of-town guests. And, of course, I had to leave and come up to the courthouse. And I left and went to our steno's wedding and came back on Sunday morning. And worked from Sunday morning.
There was someone in the office that had a wedding over that weekend?
Oh, yes, our one steno, Sandy Bayshore, married Ed Guido. And then I came back in on Sunday morning.
Of
called the girls in Sunday morning, which girls were to come, and came to work and worked straight through till after midnight that night. And went home with one of the deputy sheriffs, took me home. Because I was dumb enough to send my car back to Pittsburgh with my daughter that weekend.
Did you seek further information about the situation?
Oh, I constantly was going downstairs and asking the state EOC man that was there, plus several federal men that was here. There was one here from Georgia, and there was another man here. I don't know their names. I just would ask them, you know, what the situation is here or there.
Did you follow the media at all?
I followed the media somewhat, but when you're here, when they had press conferences, yes, we would turn the radio on and listen to Dr. Denton's press conferences, question and answers and everything. Yes, mm-hmm. I followed those.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel about the press coverage of the whole business?
When I finally got a chance to sit down, which my husband kept the papers, I felt that some of it was overplayed.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I felt that way was because I was in and out of the EOC room constantly.
So you had a direct form of information.
Right. And I kind of
did
felt
you see
like
it was conflicting sometimes?
Yes. I very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. I found Dr. Denton's report conflicting with MedEd's, which I took Dr. Denton's report at heart, and MedEd I didn't.
Okay, would you say that you found him and the NRC the most trustworthy?
Yes, I did.
Do you know what made you feel that way?
Well, I felt he was an expert in that field. Plus, my parents know someone that works at TMI,
mm-hmm.
and I just felt that he knew what he was doing.
And you didn't entirely trust Metropolitan News?
No, I didn't.
Why not?
Because number one, that thing was supposed to have, they were supposed to have had trouble with that at in the middle of the night. And it took them 5-6 hours to even go public. And another thing, I really don't feel that Dr. Denton would have been here. This is my own personal opinion. If Commissioner Myers wouldn't have made a long-distance phone call straight through to the President of the United States,
mm-hmm.
and within hours, Dr. Denton was here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Commissioner Myers made that call on Wednesday when he felt we were not getting the full, I think it was Wednesday, when he felt we were not getting the full
story,
plus the fact that MedEd had left it go, 6 hours before they ever notified the
mm-hmm.
public.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they would have had a meltdown, my feeling is, when talking to different people that have, we could have all been wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
They should have left it been known beforehand.
Did you have any ideas or pictures about what would have happened if the worst had happened over there?
Yes, I did, and I felt that the 20-mile radius was kind of a farce.
What do you mean?
Because I felt if they would have had a meltdown, number one, I don't feel if the meltdown would have hit, I don't think they would have had 5 or 6 hours to evacuate people. I think it would have possibly been more like 2 hours. Another thing, reading years ago on just atomic bomb tests and the radius that would filter, I think 20 mil was very, very conservative.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have been a radius of much higher than that.
Mm-hmm. Did you connect those events with the atomic bomb?
Yeah, because number one, I was growing up when they were testing the
sure.
atomic bomb. Plus, my uncle had a nephew that was on an atomic bomb test that died later in years from leukemia.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all
So you have something in your past history that feeds right into this.
I guess, but I never drew on it until this happened.
Okay, but you did during that time. I mean, it's not that you're making those connections now.
No.
You did during the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was at that time, and that's another thing. At that time, I was thinking to myself when they were doing it. I didn't say anything, but I was thinking to myself, and I did make the statement to my husband. Well, 20 mile to me isn't very far.
Mm-hmm. Did you make any plans different from what you would have made? When you talked with your family and so forth, did you make plans to leave, for example?
No.
You never thought about leaving?
Not really, because I was too busy.
You had responsibilities here.
Right.
Did you ever feel those conflicting at all?
No, because I have a very understanding husband.
Okay.
And it was no different than when I've had to work many hours overtime.
For other reasons.
Mm-hmm. No. When they gave the 20-mile radius and they were talking about evacuating there at one point, I called Norm to tell him I would be home late. I had the station wagon up here. I said, in the event that they decide to evacuate, I said, take Clark and go up home. And he asked me, how am I going to take Clark and go up home when you have the station wagon in Carlisle and the other cars in Pittsburgh? But at that point, you know, I really didn't. That was the only time that I said, if they do evacuate.
That would have been your signal to go.
His signal, not mine.
Yes,
I wouldn't have been allowed to go.
Mm-hmm.
I'd had to stay here.
Mm-hmm. You've talked about something in your past that you associated this with. Did you associate it with anything else? Any other former experiences?
Uh-uh.
Any historical events?
No, except when you read about what happened over in Japan when it went off.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a completely different type of power. But then again, when you're thinking of radiation, they use radiation all the time to treat cancers and things. So at one time I thought to myself, well, you know, I know a high admission of it can be critical, but a low admission of it, maybe you might be carrying a cancer germ with you that just automatically it'll, you know, a low. And really, I don't think at any time the radiation was dangerously high.
Okay, you don't feel then that anything that actually happened there threatened your health?
No.
You thought more that it might?
It might, but I didn't at any time feel that it would. I still don't.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any ideas about or pictures of how radiation might affect life if the worst had happened over there?
Oh, if the worst would have happened, there would have been no vegetation. We wouldn't have been allowed to go back for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know I had said to Norm, if they do decide to evacuate, be sure to take the checkbooks to prove that we have money in bank, plus take the insurance policies.
Mm-hmm. The important documents.
The important documents, which are all down in the safety deposit box.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the only thing.
Did you think of taking anything else?
No.
Just getting out if that happened.
Getting out. And I had said to him, would the insurance cover that if the event would happen that we couldn't go back? You know, what would happen to the house? Because there's a it kills everything. And not only that, it contaminates everything that
mm-hmm.
you can't be in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Would the insurance company allow money toward setting up a new house?
Mm-hmm.
New. You know, they'd have to relocate their job because of their offices, and you know that's not so bad. They have installations all over the world. But he said to me, he didn't think so. He said we just have to start all over again.
That's pretty hard to think about.
Well, I pushed that out of my mind because I thought that's not going to happen anyhow.
Okay.
So no, I didn't.
Did you think of any books you had read or movies you had seen or television shows?
No.
Did you have any daydreams?
No.
That you remember? Did you have any night dreams that you remember? Dreams?
No, I was too tired to dream.
Too tired. You got home and went to sleep.
That's
good.
That's right. I went home and went to sleep good. I didn't...
No disturbed sleep at all?
No.
Mm-hmm. Huh. I need to do a little check. We're going... We never go the same order, so... Do you feel that those over there during this event were in charge? The people in charge over there, do you feel that they were in control of that situation?
Now, who do you mean? The Med-Ed people, or do you mean the NRC people?
Both of them, once they were...
I don't feel that the people at Med-Ed, no, were in charge completely. I feel once Dr. Denton and the NRC people arrived, I think they even may have had doubts at times which way to go, because this is something that we have never had before.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel at times that they were probably groping and well, we'll try this or we'll try that. Now, I don't know for that for a fact. I just have a feeling that in any given situation, even in your own private life, and you're not sure which way to go on something, you'll try one thing, and if that doesn't work, you'll try another thing.
Right.
And I feel that possibly that may have happened, because they had never had anything like this.
Mm-hmm. Do you think they're in control now?
Med-Ed or NRC?
Both.
Med-Ed, no. I don't think any of the private concerns. Number one, I don't think these should be run by private concerns.
I see.
I think they should be run by the government. Now, I'll tell you why I think that. When you have a private concern running something such as TMI or any of these nuclear power plants, they can skirt just on a fine line. They can skirt the federal regs. You can find that in any business. You can skirt the federal regs. You can just operate right within them and be legal. Whereas the federal government handled it, you know doggone well they'd be following everything to the letter of the federal regs.
Mm-hmm. So you think it would be safer if it
I think it would be safer if it was run by the federal government. Why all
you,
of them.
Okay. Why do you think the power companies operate that way?
Big business. I think, you know, and I think it's the way businesses are run, even not only power companies. You'll find the honest businessman, and then you'll find the one that just works within the regs, just enough to...
And that's not safe for the public, in other words?
No, I don't think so.
In this case?
Mm-hmm. In this case, no. I don't think that, in the first place, I don't think the federal government should have ever allowed private concerns to... build these towers, you know, these everything, and then let them run. Now, just this morning on the news, where I heard they had another crack in the number one.
What, did they release a beach bomb this morning?
I didn't hear that. I just heard the little swatch news on TMI as I was turning the car. I was running late anyhow, and I turned it.
Somebody told me that this morning there was a release of beach bombs.
I don't know. I
they
really don't
to
know.
Start up again, but it'd been down.
I don't know, but all I know is that. So I didn't hear Peach Bottom. I just heard this morning, as I was getting out of the car, and I heard him say a crack had been found in the number one tower reactor, something down there. I didn't even. I just heard a and it. I turned it off.
It's sort of, I had heard from somebody else, and it's sort of the way it came.
Yeah,
through.
And they found a crack, and it was number two that they had a problem with, but it was number one that they found it today by sonic something or other, and I heard it, and I thought, oh, not again, and I was running late and turn it off and come running into the office.
Do you think that, apart from, we talked about the health question, you feel that nothing happened there at this point affected you. Do you think this affected the community in any other ways, other aspects of the community?
Yes, I do. I think it affected the community to the point where I think they're almost petrified to ever see any more nuclear power.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, there are some people that I talk with that they realize that until something better is found, we have to go with nuclear power. Then there are other ones in the community that I feel are running around, as I call it, henny-penny, and the sky's falling. And they would do that no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that bothers me is the fact that they're running around yet with their alerts and everything, and yet the DC-10 can come down and kill 295 or 96 people, and we fly every day, and yet again, you know, the government says they have to stay down, and yet you don't hear people fussing about that.
Mm-hmm.
Or you don't hear people fussing about the fact that we can't get gasoline. You don't hear them, you know, making a big to-do about that, like, okay, in a mass, we're going to do something.
Now, they should?
I think they should. If they want, I think now, that is affecting our community much more. It's affecting us, and I think it's time we get together and tell the government, okay, this is what we want. And you better produce.
Mm-hmm.
And this is getting off TMI, but this is a big boogie bill of mine.
Well,
I feel
you make these connections.
My feeling is we let our senators know that the Arabs either produce us oil and give it to us at a decent cost, or we don't furnish any more food to them, and we're the big food-producing country in the world. And that means we put the squeeze on Russia, China, all of them, the little ones and the big ones. And you either furnish us with food, with oil, or we don't furnish you with food.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel if these people now, they've made their point on TMI. All right, now funnel our energies to something more critical, which we're having right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I talked to my mother this morning, and there's no gasoline in Newport. There's no gasoline in Nicholsburg. There's no gasoline. Our county fair, Pete Peterson, went to 13 stations yesterday until he finally found gas. And you had the same experience, somewhat experience. Now, I feel it's time we get up in arms about this.
Mm-hmm.
Let TMI ride. We've made our point on TMI. Now let's just get on with more critical matters at hand.
Mm-hmm.
The trucker strike, their diesel oil. I'm in sympathy with them because they use a powerful lot of gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
And or diesel oil. And but it's going to hurt us. It's going to hurt the person that's in the cities that can't get the food. And the food's going to come up because the price is going to come up worse than it is now because everything's rotting in the fields because the truckers won't move it. Now it's time, okay, drop TMI. We've got our point across to the government what has to be done. Now let's get our point across to President Carter and all those yo-hos that are sitting down there in Congress and voting themselves big race. And I mean that for the state, too.
Yeah.
I'm very disturbed at the new ruling that came out over the governor's office this morning. $5 or else. We had a little girl out here in the office that had her tank was almost on empty. She had $4.50 in her pocketbook. That's all she had. and the man refused to give her gas because she didn't have $5. Now, why aren't they out that type of stuff? See, that's why I say I don't agree with this. I'm finished with TMI now. I lived through it. I'm quite sure there's going to be far-reaching effects. My son was full of questions. I took him down drawings. I brought him into the EOC room, left him see what was being done in EOC. I took him over to the communications room one evening and left him see what was being done over there. In fact, I brought my husband in too because I had gone home for dinner and I was so tired and it was foggy. And my husband said, I'll take you back rather than you drive, maybe fall asleep at the wheel and we'd be worse off. Mm-hmm. So he brought me back, and we brought Clark with us because he was full of questions, and we took him down and showed him everything. In fact, they were having a meeting over in the old courthouse, and after that point, our son didn't even have any questions. He was very well relieved that everything was being done and everything, and even now, he doesn't ask too many questions about it.
So you feel like the county level, at least, the government was performing very well.
The government was performing excellently, and from what I understand, as far as from different little reports coming back from the outside, Cumberland County was best prepared. EOC staff and everything in the whole area. Mm-hmm. So, now if we could get people geared up on this other situation, maybe we'd have some things coming along just fine.
Mm-hmm. Did people's behavior change?
No. In fact, yes, in a way. The girls had been having problems with our solicitor funneling work through me at all times, which everybody does, you know. I make sure that each one has their little jobs, and if they're slack in work, I give them more to do. And John started following everything through me, even requesting tape recorders, anything, everything. And John has continued. And it had taken us, the girls would complain to me that they couldn't get John to tell them where they were going. They couldn't get John to bring this stuff to me. He just, you know, butt in, you know. And now John is excellent. So, yes, he changed. I mean, he's typical military, and they could never understand. But John funnels everything through me now, which makes the girls real happy. But it took TMI to do that.
So
you know?
it improved a cooperative atmosphere in the
right
in the
from John. Right.
From John. That's good.
Yeah, that was the only one we had problems with ever, and it was John. And we laugh about that even yet. But as far as the girls working together, they were very tired, and yet they were not. They didn't get short-tempered. I was really amazed at how well everybody was. Now, whether they felt like I did that it had to be done and we were going to do it, come hell or high water, and willing to do whatever was asked for them, I never heard a complaint out of any of them.
Mm-hmm.
Not a complaint. And some of them were so tired, that, me included, that, you know, we've felt how much longer can this go.
Mm-hmm.
And we were short-handed the one steno, so I called a previous steno that we had to come in.
Mm-hmm.
I also called a steno from the county home to come up and help and to relieve girls, and we had meals brought in to us and everything, and everybody was just excellent. I couldn't have asked for a better crew.
Mm-hmm.
I really couldn't have. No. You know, sometimes when people are under pressures, they do become very irritable. We didn't have that. We didn't have that.
So everybody was very cooperative.
Very cooperative. Very cooperative. From downstairs in the EOC room to right up here, everywhere, everybody was cooperative.
And you got to check through.
Thank you.
Well, this is on a different tack. Did you find this event more or less frightening or concerning than, say, something like a flood or a hurricane?
No, I was more frightened in the flood.
Were you?
Mm-hmm. I really was. We had gone down and helped a friend of ours move out of Wormleysburg, her first floor apartment. And it was very eerie to me at night to hear that river roar. My mother-in-law lives in Des Moines, and where she lives, you could hear the river roaring. And to me, that was frightening. Plus the fact that we had never had water. We live up in Mechanicsburg, not even near a stream. And the sewers backed up, and we had, like, water in our basement. And I was fearful that the furnace would blow and everything. And, no, I was more fearful during the flood.
Mm-hmm.
I really was. I was, maybe it was because I wasn't, like, in this office and knew what was going on,
mm-hmm.
too. It was like I just was more frightened then.
So you felt all along through this that you would survive?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Did you think about God at all during the incident?
Well, I'm a firm believer that all you say to God is, you know my problem, it's in your hands, and you drop it. And I'm also an firm believer that God only gives us what we can mentally handle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in anything in life. And at that point, I don't think I thought of God then, but I do know that many times in here when the pressures or home, like I get a call from mom today and there were some things I just say to myself, now you know what the problem is? It's yours.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I live my life.
Mm-hmm.
I live my life with that firm belief that things are done for a purpose. And I don't think God is the type of person that would wipe out a community.
Mm. Do you think there was any message here in those films?
As far as from a religious standpoint?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes and no. I think from a religious standpoint, it makes people realize that they'd better be ready to meet their maker.
Mm-hmm.
From a religious standpoint, on that point of things, also, if it taught us nothing else, and I don't think this is from a religious standpoint, but if it taught us nothing else, it taught us that we should be more aware of what is put near us, such as nuclear power or even where they keep the waste from nuclear power.
Mm-hmm.
I think it should make us all more aware of where these things are placed.
Mm-hmm.
And but from a religious standpoint, I don't feel I just feel that God knew all of us his problem, and he steered people the best that they knew how if they asked his help.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel about life. I just feel that we're here for such a short time compared to that you have to make the best of everything. And the thing is, you have to just let everything up to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I believe.
Did you think about your own death at any point?
No, not during that time I didn't. I oftentimes think of death at the point that I know it's going to happen, and the only thing I ever think of is I hope it happens after my children are grown, because we have a 10-year-old son yet to raise. But if it didn't, I'm willing, if I walk out this street today and drop dead of a heart attack, I drop dead. So I hope I go upstairs. If I don't, I'll be shoveling coal. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't dwell on death. Mm-hmm. I have faced death many times with relatives, and it's, to me, I guess I've hardened to it. Mm-hmm. I lost my grandfather that I was very close to when I was 8. My uncle that I was very close to when I was 9. And I was engaged to a boy, and he was killed. And so then my father-in-law, who I was very close to, died. And to me, death is a reality. We know we have to face it one way or the other. So I just never give it not that much thought, no. My son has, and my daughter both have asked me about death. And I've explained to them that it's just your body that dies. It's not your spirit. Mm-hmm. And that if they live their life as best that they know how, and don't, live a good life and be good to people and try to do to people what you would want them to do to you, you'll get to heaven. But outside of that, I don't worry about it. Because again, you and I can be sitting here talking, and my number is, you know, God has a purpose for me upstairs, so I'm taken. That's just the way I live life. My purpose on earth is finished. I feel we're all put here for a reason. And then once that is fulfilled, then we're taken. So that's how I feel about it.
Did you, this is a real shift, did you hear any humor?
Pardon?
Did you hear any humor, any jokes?
Oh,
about radiation at Three Mile Island?
Yes. My daughter came in for Sandy's wedding, she and her roommate. And they got on the turnpike, and they decided, well, we may as well go back. One said to the other, well, we may as well go back till they stop us. And then my daughter has kind of a goofy side to her, I guess you'd call it. And on the way back to, when she got back to Pittsburgh, some of their friends were talking. And she told him, she said, well, we just went in so we could glow a little for you. So, I mean, you know, they were, why did you go in? And, you know, and she felt, and Tawny called her mother. And the reports in the Pittsburgh area were atrocious as far as I'm concerned. Tawny's from Uniontown, and they get all the Pittsburgh broadcasts, the nationwide broadcasts. And as far as I'm concerned, they had everybody out there thinking we were dead. And we called Tawny's mother, who is a worrywart to begin with, and I called her and talked to her and told her she didn't need to worry about Tawny being in here with us this weekend, because if anything happened, I would send those girls out before the whole family out, which relieved Tawny's mother. And I told her, I said, she was telling me some of the reports that was coming to them out there. They were getting reports that were just, as far as I'm concerned, it would have had, if they would have had reports like that in here, we'd have had mass hysteria. Mm-hmm. So that's why I say I think the news media played all this up. Mm-hmm. But yes, the TMI, Jackie, and when Jackie came home, her boyfriend said to her that, he was going to have to come in this summer so he could get a glow like her. You know, it's, they laugh about this, you know, but when she got back, I don't know, one of their girlfriends said something to them about it. And she said, oh, well, we just went in so we could glow for you a little bit when we come back. And but outside of that, there was no... There was a comic, a little joke came around afterwards about real estate, prize real estate for sale, which I got a big laugh out of it, and I think I have it at home someplace, I'm not sure. I know I took it home to show it to Norm, which I got a big kick out of. But as far as in the workforce here at the time, and the EOC room at the time, no, there was no joking around. No, there was none. But when Jackie called me that she got back all right, she called in here to let me know that she got back all right. In fact, the reason she called in here to let me know she got back all right was because her father and her brother was out playing baseball. So that's how concerned he was of the radiation. So, but that's the only comical thing about it that I heard.
You've already addressed this fairly directly, and I'm just asking a question to see if there's anything more you'd like to say about it, and that's how you feel about our handling of nuclear power from here on. You have talked about you don't feel it should be in private hands.
Well, maybe to elaborate on that a little, the government controls the nuclear subs. Now, I'll tell you, I'll explain why I'm going in this direction. Is I think I told you one day about Richie that lives down the street from us that is on a full scholarship at Notre Dame from the Navy on for nuclear engineering. And I have talked to Richie on this at great lengths. And his prime example to me, which I agree with him, is the subs are not controlled. The nuclear subs are not controlled by private industry.
Mm-hmm.
They are controlled by the government. And they have been safe, except for one. Our space shots have all been controlled by the federal government. Granted, private industry has made parts, but at the same time, they had federal people there making sure that everything was being built to the regulations. And for all the space shots and all the space things that we've had and all the nuclear subs that we've had out, we had one disastrous space shot. We've had one disastrous nuclear sub, and I forget its name, but it was, remember when
I do remember. Yeah, I do.
Went down years and years.
Yeah.
Right. All right. For the amount of nuclear subs we have and for the amount of space shots we've had under government control, that's a pretty good average. I mean, that's a darn good percentage. But I feel if we had the federal government running them, we'd be all right. Again.
Okay, we're talking about federal regulation.
All right. We would have the people trained much better.
Mm-hmm.
You take now, from little bit I read, and again, you only can believe half what you're, none of what you read and half of what you see, they always say, but anyhow, the people were not really trained that well to run that nuclear power plant. And if the government controlled it, there would be rigid restrictions, there would be rigid tests, there would be rigid education on how to run that.
Mm-hmm.
You take Richie as an A student, and he's in nuclear science, nuclear engineering. And they only want their top people in this type of thing. The brains of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I say if we would have had this, I don't think we would have the problems. And I do feel that if the government really, I don't think they really inspect the building of these like they should. I really don't think they do. I think if they had the full hand, it would be completely different. I know you get the old hall, the government has their fingers in too many things, but when you look at their track record, it's a pretty good one. And when these different dangerous things that we do.
Is there anything else that you would want to say about all of this?
No.
Have I missed anything?
No, except that I'm getting tired of reading about TMI.
Had enough of it.
I've had enough of it. I really have. I really feel, like I told you before, that it's time we move to something more at hand, because if nothing else comes out of this, I do hope. Oh, yes, there's one thing I don't want to miss. I don't feel that the people that are Med-Ed customers, or even myself that's a PP&L customer, should bear the cost of their mistakes. I really don't think we should. I think they are a large enough concern. They should be carrying insurance for that. And I am strongly against us bearing the cost of something that was one of their own problems.
Mm-hmm.
Who bears our cost when we make a mistake? We don't have anybody but ourselves to pay for what we do. And I don't feel that we should pay for them. They can file a Chapter 10 bankruptcy or Chapter 11 bankruptcy and get out of all of it if they want to. And I just am very, very much against the people having to pay for this. I really am.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think they should check into, for our own economy's sake here in the state, the mining of coal a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
To be used by the different power companies like they used to. But until all this can be settled, this is the way we have to go. Solar energy is really the thing we're going to have in the long run. But I think the government should pour more money into that for research. You take when the Russians put off their first Sputnik. Huh. The money that went into that for us to put ours off. If we can pour money in like that, we can surely pour money into it for solar energy resources to run the power plants.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel we should get on the horse and start a few things in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I had to add. And I think PUC voted the other day. I might have heard that report wrong with Ryan DeBasement and everything, but I think PUC voted to have Med-Ed add some costs to the billing. And if that is so, then why did they put those people through all of this? Why did they have their big officials come in? In other words, it's the same old story. You can't fight City Hall. That, again, was a waste of the taxpayers' money, in my book,
mm-hmm.
to hold all those hearings. And then if they turn around and give them the power to increase the utility bills, then they shouldn't even have a PUC. They should just be allowed to hike it on and save my money that way, too, because we paid for all of them salaries to come in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, again, is another farce. Well, we'll run some public hearings to keep the public happy. But we'll do what we damn well please in the end. Right?
Seems that way sometimes.
Well, I used to sit in on budget hearings with the state. When you've been around government as many years as I have, you soon learn how the feelings go and the talk behind and
no doubt.
So that's why I say I really feel that I'm definitely against. In fact, I'm definitely against that. I did ask the one of the federal men, or I don't know whether that was a federal man or a state man now. Maybe that was a state man. I'm not sure. I'd hate to say which it was. If they would ever open TMI up again. And he said he felt that the public outcry against it would be so great they wouldn't be able to. And also that the fact that he didn't look for it to open up in our lifetime again.
Hmm.
So there, if that's true. And another thing, they were saying that it would create problems in the economy. And I've had people ask me out in Pittsburgh when I was out visiting my daughter how far TMI was from me. How do you get there? They'd like to come in and just see what it looks like. So I think if they got the gas situation settled, we might have an influx of tourists just to come and look across the river and see, hey, I've been to TMI, you know. I really think that. But that's neither here nor there. We'll just have to wait and see. That's about it.